Hi there, and welcome to our podcast, Mindfulness at Work. I'm Cara Pollard.
And I'm Beth Miles. This episode of Mindfulness at Work is brought to you by the Genesis Foundation for Children, an organization that supports the whole child during the time of rare disease or genetic disorder diagnosis. Their funding and services offer a holistic approach that is directly in line with the mission of Cara Pollard Coaching. We are thrilled to have their support. Find out more about their incredible work at www.genesisfoundation.org.
Hi, and welcome to the Mindfulness at Work podcast. I am your host, Cara Pollard.
And I'm your host, Beth Miles.
We are thrilled to be back today to discuss more about the Brain Matters documentary with the writer and director, Carlotta Nelson.
We are so thrilled to be back talking with Carlotta. We just found our conversation went on and there was so much to talk about. We've created three episodes in an attempt to cover it all. So thanks for joining and we can't wait to share.
Carlotta, can you just describe to me what exactly is the Brain Matters movie?
Brain Matters is a documentary film about the science of the early years and what it takes for all children to reach their full potential. I like to think of Brain Matters as being much more than a film. It's a bridge that connects parents and caregivers with scientists and educators. So segments of the population that normally don't work together. And it's also a screening tool that allows anyone to organize a screening in their community for free. Brain Matters is also a place to go for fun and easy to understand resources and takeaways.
Wow. So it's kind of like a movement, would you say?
Yes. We are hoping to build a global movement with Brain Matters. It's a non-for-profit initiative, and we really want everyone in the world to take it and own it and share it and use all of our resources and learn about brain science in the early years.
Carlotta, can I ask the movement when it began? Did it come? Was it pushed from the science side? How was it? Your thoughts to put the documentary together? Like, how did this come to be with all of these different partners involved?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. After the research period, we decided to create our own scientific advisory board that helped us guide us through the end film. They supervised and gave their input and opinions and suggestions in every draft of the script and in every cut that we did of the film. And we're so very thankful to them because they are very busy people, some of the most brilliant minds in the world, and they so generously helped us.
One of the biggest messages of the movie is that it's accessible to everyone. So we all know this, but how do we teach all people, whatever culture they come from or whatever their socioeconomic background, that this is really the most imperative thing that you can do for your child, which is be intentional and deliberate, nurturing, responsive, all these things that we can all do. I love this project and I hope that is used as a tool to teach everyone that this can surpass any barriers or gaps that we see in the world currently. Am I saying that correctly, Carlotta? Is that part of the message of Brain Matters?
Yes, it is. And I'm so happy that you asked this question because no matter where you're born, what language you speak, this is universal. It's the same for every child, a child in Ghana and a child in New York. Parents, especially today, are so overwhelmed. They're really trying to make the best of it and trying to work and trying to be a good parent. But it's very difficult and parents cannot do this on their own. That's why another one of our aims is policy and business change. There's so much that can be done at that level. We need to start removing ourselves from working in silos. There needs to be an integral, holistic, some say a whole systems approach, We need mental health, nutrition, education, legislators, policy, businesses to all come together, no matter what you believe politically, you know, and this isn't just a question of getting children ready for the workforce, although there is strong economic proof that when a country invests in early childhood, the benefits are not only the economic benefits, but at a societal level, are just astounding. But when we talk about thriving, when we talk about success, I think that we really need to redefine what these words mean. It's not just a question of making more money or having more things or being a CEO, which all of those things are wonderful. We really need to think of our children and get them ready to be, you know, the future citizens of the world, the people who are going to help form and build the next generation. And that is being a generous person and being a good person and being someone who has empathy, who wants to help others. So it's this broader vision of success that we refer to in the documentary.
Yes, that's what Beth and I do. So we work at Kara Pollard Coaching, and we actually partner with corporations because first, we really are all about women, right? And we believe that the more we can support women at work, the more we'll eradicate the gender gap. So we coach men, or fathers, a lot in tapping into their emotional side so that the woman isn't bearing all the emotional labor. We have found in our research in talking with executives that some soft skills are really missing from the corporate world right now. And I believe that's because we're finally seeing the younger generation that are the result of the performative culture, the checklist culture, where we taught everybody that, you know, they're to do the mechanistic things, get good grades, have high test scores, be involved in a million soccer programs or whatever the extracurriculars are. But we forgot about that key component, which is foundational to the brain, foundational to why we exist, which is connection. And so when you talk about success, our research has shown that 2/3 of parents feel like a failure as a parent, and they're working parents. So you can't bring that feeling of failure from your home life and then feel like a success in your work life. It's going to be sitting with you. It's going to affect whether you stay working. It's going to affect your productivity level. And so Beth and I are very passionate about partnering with corporations so that they start to see, I think, in our culture, we're starting to get a little bit better about leaves. You know, new parents get a little bit longer at leave, or we even have more lactation rooms, or we have milk delivery things, which are all necessary, or even emergency care, childhood care. But we're forgetting that at the foundation is everything that Brain Matters is espousing based on research, that it's all about connection, intentional connection. So whether that's the parent or a caregiver, if you're not building the brain from the bottom up, you're not going to be creating whole people, to your point, that will then be able to work and really add to our economy in the future. So it's so foundational, but yet I find that it's the last thing people think of. How do you think we can change that, Carlotta?
Yes, those are all very, very good questions. I'm so happy that you asked me. You know, nurture the child and teach them then they're most ready to learn these soft skills, right? Empathy, how to work with one another. When they get into school, they'll be able to learn better. They'll behave better at home and at school. I think a lot of parents think of the baby as an empty vessel that you have to fill with information. And that happens later on. We have our whole life to be memorizing things. And also for parents to know that the brain, and this is something that I did not know when I started this project, the brain doesn't differentiate whether that love and that nurturing responsive care is coming from the grandmother, the mother, mm-hmm. brother, sister, or the neighbor. I think that that will make them feel better, especially for those parents who are not able to spend the time that they want to spend with their children or come home and are too tired.
Right.
If their, you know, if their child is with an experienced quality caregiver or in a quality early childhood setting, then they should feel very good about that.
Yes. You know, that's what I teach even parents of teenagers, that it's connection over correction, that you're not really here to dump a bunch of information into your child. They can learn that from anywhere. But that connection and that relationship is really integral to who they are as a thriving human being. And I think if we could get this information to everyone, we could eradicate ADHD. We could eradicate anxiety. We can eradicate, I mean, maybe not eradicate, but we can certainly lessen the rise in the fact that kids don't have executive functioning skills and they can't problem solve and their imaginations are no longer there, and this rise in loneliness, if we could go back to something that's so basic and accessible.
One of the things that science shows us is so critically important for brain development is what we call serve and return interaction. It's this responsiveness, this responsive two-way interaction between even infants before they can talk and adult caregivers. They don't differentiate between a blood relative, an adoptive parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor. They just need that kind, that interaction, and they need to be able to expect a response when they put up a serve or a request for interaction. And so where that response comes from depends on who's available.
Children are going to learn from whatever they're exposed to. And if we want children who are helpful and risk-taking and engaging, then we have to be those things with them to allow them to get there. We have more influence than most people realize.
I think that other ways that businesses can serve as advocates is obviously sharing brain science with employees, not only employees who are parents, because we see this as, I mean, everyone is has a child in their life or will meet a child, but contributing time and resources and volunteers to local organizations, but even talking to media, family-friendly policies, benefit employees, you know, investing in children at the start of the of their lives is not only the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. Unfortunately, we live in a time where we expect immediate gratification, and we want to, you know, the politician wants to have a picture of himself cutting that ribbon, opening up a new school, but we really have to think long term.
Wow, that's wonderful. One of the projects that you reference in the movie is the Epsiderian Project. Can you explain what that actually is?
I would love to, because it's one of my favorite projects, and the people involved in the Epsiderian Projects, the leading scientists and senior investigators, are still alive and working today. And they're just so passionate, and it's really amazing. The Epsiderian Project, for those who don't know what this is, it's a social experiment that tested whether an intellectually stimulating early childhood environment could prevent developmental delays among disadvantaged children.
Wow. And it's how long was the project, the research going on?
Well, it's still going on today, if you could believe it. Wow. I mean, they wanted to study a sample of children in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and test whether it was possible to change the course of a life by stepping in early. So the experiment, which we explain in the documentary, basically consisted in randomly assigning 111 babies born into poverty to one of two groups. So both of these groups received basic support and nutrition, but only one of the groups got the added bonus, which was the high quality education childcare. Not only did they teach maternal skills to the parents or caregivers of these children, but these children were at a quality preschool from Monday to Friday. So they were there with these senior investigators.
Wow. And they've been followed for 5 decades. So this began in the 70s. Do they see the difference in the now adults who were part of the group that got the maternal skills and were got high quality care during their earliest years?
Oh, yes. I mean, the Obesidarian Project is considered the longest running social experiment in history, and all based on science. So these children that are now adults have been tracked and monitored ever since they were born, practically. And then at age 12, 15, 21, 30, and 35.
Wow.
Yeah, and still today, the Obesidarian children who received the high quality education and care, the IQ scored, they're healthier, they live longer, they had lower blood pressure than the control group. You know, it also affected their lifestyles. Mm-hmm. It influenced their behaviors. Like, for example, women were significantly less likely to start drinking before age 17, more likely to engage in physical activity, more likely to eat nutritious food. Treated males delayed the onset of smoking. They were less likely to report depressive symptoms when compared to the people in the control group. And all of them have broken the cycle of poverty. Most have sought higher education. As children, they had lower levels of grade retention. And the adults in this group were more likely to attend a four-year college and have, you know, skilled jobs. They take longer to form their own family. And surprisingly, their mothers also derive benefits in education and in employment. And this, we had the fortune and privilege of meeting the Alston family, Judy Alston and her daughter, Kendra. And I really wish that we could have had more time in the film to show all the amazing footage of the 3 days we spent with them.
Well, they were the family that was featured and also particularly interesting. One of the things I thought about was the idea that she is a teen mom, which can put someone definitely on a path in life, right? Chart you on a path that determines your education level, ensuing job opportunities. Brain Matters seemed to show that that was not really the case, right? It kind of dispels the myth that this teen becoming pregnant as a teen and then the ensuing path does not have to be one that keeps you at a level of poverty or lacking opportunities.
Absolutely, Beth. James Heckman, who is the Nobel Prize winning economist, who has independently tracked and monitored in the economic sense of the Obesidarian Project, right? How much it cost and all the results. Well, when he speaks about the results of the Obesidarian Project, and I think he says it so well, he says, the Obesidarian Project tells us that adversity matters and it does affect adult health, but it also shows us that we can do something about it, that poverty is not just a hopeless condition. Mm-hmm. And this is very, very crucial, because if we have the science, we have high quality programs that work and still work, like the Obesidarian Project, what are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. What are we waiting for to do something about it? Maybe some of the listeners might think, how much does that cost, right? Which is a good question. So a recent cost-benefit analysis in adulthood, James Heckman and his awesome team, the University of Chicago, revealed a 7.3-to-1 return on investment with a 13.7% average annual rate of return.
Wow.
And we mustn't forget that of all the social service costs that society would be saving if we were all healthier.
Well, and I think the family, is it Kendra? Her impact, she went on to pursue a master's degree. She created her own business. She's now working within early education. So the ripple effect that you created in that community, right? So by helping that family, she goes on just in her, wasn't she the first person in her family to reach higher education?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And then, she went on to get a master's. And something very beautiful about Kendra and Craig Ramey, one of the founders of the Obesidarian Project, told me that most of this experimental group not only have, you know, higher IQs and skilled jobs and make more money and are healthier and live longer, but they all tend to look for ways to give back to the community.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, in Kendra's case, not only is she a teacher, which is, apart from parenting, one of the most important jobs in the world, she also mentors young children that are from disadvantaged families. Mm-hmm. And she's doing an amazing job doing that.
Yeah, so it definitely has a lasting impact, right? And a growing
yes.
impact. Well, and I think the conversation too seems like the return to really thinking about empathy and how we raise our children And then this expanding and throwing a net wider in our own communities, or maybe creating stronger communities. Because to your point, it's not just the parents with the children. It's in a corporation setting, it's the employee who doesn't have children but's going to be partnering with their colleague that does, and having empathy and understanding for why it's important to stay connected to those children. And it's just a greater, to me, it seems like there is a greater sense of community that's needed. And then that business creates a community around supporting those employees. The employees within are supporting each other. So it is, and then you're supporting caregivers and grandparents and that greater community within a family, right?
Yeah. So to your point, Beth, and thank you, Carlotta, for raising this about, you know, it really does take a village. But I find that in higher level or elderly or more senior managers really don't understand, and they really resent some of the family leave policies that are in place, because they kind of feel like, well, I didn't get that and I raised kids fine, or, well, I didn't get paternity leave. I didn't get to take off 8 weeks. You know, I was off one day, if that. And so they really have this resentful attitude, instead of that they are made aware of the brain science and know that for our society, this is better. And if they're going to espouse, you know, advancing women, this is one of the best ways that they can advance women, so that it isn't all on one person, or, you know, that they understand that somebody, whether it's the father, the mother, or another caring adult, really needs to be interacting with that child on a basic level for their brain development foundationally. So I think it's even important for managers who work with parents to get this information.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what they should realize is that when the employer who is a parent is happy, they're going to be more productive. They're going to want to come back to work, and they're going to probably do their work better, knowing that their child is safe, secure, and nurtured. You know, we are all very privileged in this world, but the fact is that still more than half the children in the world are not getting this, mm-hmm. because more than half of the parents in the world and caregivers in the world do not have this information. And especially at a time when we have refugee crisis, when we have wars, when we have migrants, we really need to take care of these sectors of our population, because the world is all of us.
Yes. Well, I can't thank you enough for your dreams, because your dreams are becoming a reality. And I think it's phenomenal that it's subtitled in all those languages, and that it's, you know, you can download it for free and show it in Spanish or English. I think it's just imperative information. And I can't thank you enough for the work that you must have put into getting this out there, and how I believe, and I don't say this without being very sincere, I believe this is a world-changing documentary that can change the way we look at the brain science of raising our children, and why it's imperative to do it in the way that the movie suggests, and that all things come from connection. And I just can't thank you enough, Carlotta. I think it's just speaks to my heart so much. And I hope that, I believe that anybody who sees it will gain some information, and it will likely speak to their heart as well.
Thank you for listening to Mindfulness at Work. If you felt inspired by our conversation, we hope you'll share our podcast with your friends and colleagues.
So we'd love to have your feedback, your comments, your questions. We'll certainly address anything that you'd like us to, so please contact us. We love hearing from you. Also, we have sponsorship packages, corporate support packages. We do executive coaching, team coaching, couples coaching, because we believe mindfulness really does work.
Don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on all the ways Kara Pollard Coaching and Mindfulness at Work transforms lives.